This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block, following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew at 4.05 p.m. And then you come up on the Henry Rain Show right now at 5.05 p.m. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more coming to you from the coronavirus
capital
of North America. And we will explain that shortly, but what happened this week? Well, Bitcoin continued to climb towards 9,000 on today, March 2nd, reaching a five-day high as markets appeared to recover from coronavirus fears. Meanwhile, China reported the first case of coronavirus on December 30th, and Bitcoin has outperformed every major asset class, including gold. Also, close to half the revenue on Square's Cash App in the fourth quarter, they reported their earnings last week, came from Bitcoin. And then also, well, this isn't unexpected.
Yeah.
The SEC rejected another Bitcoin ETF. And to help us go through all of this is none other than he's one half of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. He's one half of the founding team of Greenbridge Investing. He is the
better
voice, the voice formerly known as Goldbug One. He's Andy. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Yes. And we've been on some abbreviated shows here because I have to get to a class at 6 o'clock. We are on spring break, but it's still going to be an abbreviated show today. I didn't need to tell you that, but I am, because I just like Honest Abe here in the radio station, but mainly because I hadn't told Andy before the show started.
Got to pick up Gator.
Yeah. And, well, let's talk about the coronavirus. Nobody's been talking about
that.
No,
not at all.
Last night, we're broadcasting on Monday afternoon here on the south side of Tampa Bay, the 18th or 19th biggest media market in the country.
Yeah.
The United States of the Americas. And we here in Tampa Bay, on the north side in Hillsborough County, a.k.a. where Tampa is, and on the south side, more importantly, Manatee County, where the studio is, reported their first two cases of coronavirus. I understand that this has been known for a while. You know, Joel Greenberg, the tax collector up at Seminole County, he's been on the show. He's a friend of the show. And he tweeted last night, because I follow him, he follows me. You know, it's a tweet thing.
The Twitter's first?
Yes. And
see, they're trying to get Jack Dorsey to step down. Yeah, see that?
Yeah, we're going to get to that, all that. But we're talking about rubbing shoulders with the elite, getting not the elite that the negative elite. We're talking about the elite as in the inner elite that we deal with.
Yeah.
Anyway, he tweeted after it broke in the news that he had known about it for weeks. And I know Joel Greenberg. I believe Joel Greenberg on stuff like this. And I'm thinking, yeah, I bet they did know.
Yeah. I was wondering when it was going to hit Florida. I'm like, okay, I seen it in Washington, California, Illinois. Yeah. We are the second largest. Only New York
we
is larger than us.
We got a lot of people coming in and
that's
out.
Right. We are the second largest destination for foreign visitors. And I'm thinking to myself,
not in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. It has to be.
Well,
I think people have it. You know, think it's the flu, not just ignoring it, taking the vitamin C, getting over it. You know,
well,
that's my opinion.
So the patient in Tampa, in Hillsborough, they don't say Tampa. Mm-hmm. They just say Manatee, so you got like this big area to worry about.
Yeah, right.
Why can't it just be Duet? Just people around here know how
Ocala.
How remote that is. Anyway, the patient in Hillsborough County had been to Italy.
Oh.
So he was mixing it up with the Italian coronavirus and brought it back here. The Manatee County patient has no travel that is known of that he where he would have been exposed to this. And we've also, Sarasota County is the county to the south of Manatee County, for those of you listening around the world. That has a mom and a child at the Sarasota Military Academy that are now in quarantine.
Yeah.
We have, and 15 other people have been tested. So that,
and we had a bunch of faulty tests, too.
I think actually we got 15 negative tests, and 8 tests are still pending, and we have 184 people being monitored. So we went, yesterday we woke up, we had no problems, and now we got problems, and that's how fast this spreads.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do about it? It's, I don't know. I'm not as worried about it as
I live on the second floor of the back corner of my condo complex.
Yeah.
I'm happy up there.
Think of all the handrail stuff you're touching when you're going up there.
There's only me and the neighbor.
Yeah.
That's one person.
You don't know where he's been?
She?
She?
She looks clean.
She looks...
She's German.
I don't know. I mean...
She's German. She has good habits.
Yeah. I have a couple friends that are sick, and that's the first thing I'm thinking is like, okay, maybe you got the coronavirus. But I don't know. I haven't gone to Walmart. I haven't gone to Sam. I haven't gone to Costco. Tried to fight all that. To get what? What are you getting supplies for? That's my question. People are grabbing water like it's a hurricane. I mean, I'm like, what do you think you're going to do? You know, the toilets aren't going to flush?
I think if you have you don't have a lot of small kids in your home.
No.
And I have nobody but me in my home. So a 12-pack of the jumbo rolls lasts me quite a while, I'm happy to say.
Yeah.
So I haven't stocked up on toilet paper. But I've seen the shelves at the local Publix, which is our premier grocery store around here.
I like Publix.
And they were rather picked over.
Really?
It was like, actually, it wasn't even last night when the news came out. It was the night before. Anyway, let's get on. People don't want to hear about coronavirus toilet paper.
No.
They want to
hear... Or GFS.
They
always have the big bulk stuff.
Yeah. I tell you, I've got news for you. Bitcoin continued to climb towards $9,000 today, reaching a five-day high as markets appeared to recover from the coronavirus fears. And as we speak, it is $8,944. Daily gains totaled 3.2%, in line with a rebound as some traditional markets. Actually, since this was written, the traditional markets have gone up even higher. Anyway, not much more to say about that, at least from the terms of this media report. But what does the co-founder, SeekingCryptos.com, GreenBridgeInvesting.com, say about the price action?
This weekend looked a little bearish. You didn't like the price action here. It looked like it was sliding and sliding. And looking at that, I think Mark had 8,400. I was looking at the 8,200 level. For it to hold there, and looking for some sign of buyer stepping in. And today we got it. I'm happy to see it. So I think if you haven't added any into this pullback, nothing wrong with taking a little small bite here. I've added already because we sold it.
What about
a higher
taking
level.
Profit?
Never a bad time to take profit. But this is probably an area where you want to start looking for
long. If you were looking at it with my pessimistic eyes and seeing it sort of roll over down to from 87 down, and then it was around 86, and then it was hanging around 85, and then it was like bouncing off 8,400, and you're looking at that curve where it came out, months ago, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of support once you go down below 8,200 or 8,000. And you're like, maybe I should just preserve my capital.
Yeah. It depends on your time frame. What's your time frame?
I don't know. What time is it?
You know, a couple weeks or, you know, are you long term?
I just don't like seeing it go
I tell you what
lower.
I tell you what I did because I was over at the Harley shop this weekend. And I saw the CVO, 2020 CVO. Oh, what a nice bike. $48,000.
How much is that in Bitcoin?
So that's what I said. I said, you know what? I bought a Bitcoin around 45, 48, somewhere in there.
You needed 10 of those.
And I said, well, I said, once that hits 45, once Bitcoin hits 45,000, I'm buying that CVO for $4,500.
For 45,000?
Yeah, well,
oh,
only pay, you see what I'm saying?
In your mind, you're
buying it. In my mind, so I'm going to sell a Bitcoin and buy that bike. So long term, I think the market's going to move higher. I think this is just, you know, typical correction.
I was feeling disappointed back when it was dropping around 9,500, the most recent drop through 9,500, and I sold out then. So then I bought it back in at 8,700-ish. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. But then I saw it go down below 8,500, and then I wasn't feeling so good about myself. So that's my measurement.
Wow.
That's when it's time. That's my time horizon. How long I feel good versus how long I don't feel good.
Well, in that case, I like the 9,600 at level. So I think if you get a bounce up in the 9,600 and you,
right,
you know, I think that's where you can look.
And, you know, it seems like ancient history when President Trump took the strike on General Soleimani and everything went crazy and Bitcoin took off. Because it really was sort of languishing there before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the good news about the coronavirus and it went even higher. And then it's sort of been
lackluster.
Yeah, listless and lackluster is a good way to describe it. And
lollygagging, it's just lollygagging.
You've got to have not two, it's the three L's.
The three L's.
Listless, lackluster, and lollygagging.
Lollygagging.
When you walk into the three L's,
yeah,
you just go, oh, man.
That's what you want to buy, though.
All right. Well, for an encouragement here, after all the listless, lackluster, lollygagging you've been doing, as fear about the coronavirus impact on the economy escalates, investors have been quick to assess Bitcoin as digital gold's safe haven. But what about this listless, lackluster, lollygagging in the price of Bitcoin? Well, to make you feel better, assessing asset class returns on a slightly longer time horizon paints a different picture. Since China reported the first case of coronavirus on December 30th, it's hard to believe it was that long ago.
Yeah.
It seems like my hysteria.
Well, we never really,
Yeah,
I was gonna say it never really hit the news until about a month ago.
Bitcoin has outperformed every major asset class, including gold,
yeah,
as shown in the chart that you're not gonna see on the radio. And the Bitcoin and gold have appreciated 23% and 4% respectively, while the S&P has dropped 9.5%. And actually, it dropped farther than that, but now it's right about back to 9.5%, I think. And we will wait to see what happens. So, any other thoughts on coronavirus, Bitcoin price?
I think it's overblown, but that's just me. Of course, next week we could all be
hysteria.
Yeah, I think the coronavirus hysteria is overblown. I don't see anybody. Have you been out on the roads?
Yes.
Are there any less cars out there?
That's because we get the whole
thing. Oh, they're all going to Walmart to buy the,
for the last few weeks, and then somebody had to blow it and say it. Everybody would have kept coming to flying into the Sarasota Brayden Airport, flying into the Tampa Airport, flying into the Clearwater Airport.
I don't know if I'm flying. Now, actually, I was supposed to fly this weekend, this week. And
don't you love airplanes?
I didn't even think of it.
Don't you just want to be
all that refiltered air?
Oh, the best thing to do is to get that. And then when you get on, you're feeling good, start going, and then coughing your hand instead of your elbow. That's the way you do it.
And then hit the button.
And then turn the AC fan up full blast and blow.
And then hand the person their seatbelt. Here you go.
Here, let me hand you your Coke.
Yeah. Flying's a little different.
I really don't like to fly.
I don't like fly either. I'd rather drive.
You gotta do it all the time.
I know, but I'd rather drive. So, all right. I'm liking Square, though.
Square has a lot going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Dorsey's payment company reported on Bitcoin profits as part of its fourth quarter 2019 revenue results just last week. In the shareholder letter, it's reported that Bitcoin revenue of $178 million between October 1st and December 31st, with gross profits of $3 million, up from 50% over the prior two quarters. Well, that's a pretty good rate of growth for that.
Pretty good, yeah.
Non-Bitcoin revenue on the Cash App in the fourth quarter was $183 million. Now we're throwing those numbers out to you. So Cash App has passed Venmo as the most downloaded cash payment app, at least in the U.S., I think globally, actually, and not the U.S., U.S. too. Anyway, it beat Venmo. Mm-hmm. It's past Venmo because of their superior, Square's superior use of social media. Do you ever look at TikTok?
No.
I don't really look at it. Well, I don't like it because it's got Chinese malware in it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and there isn't a 16-second video that is so intriguing to me that I want Chinese malware on my phone. But I'm not 16 either. So anyway, I digress. $170 million revenue from Bitcoin sales versus just the $183 million from everything else.
Oh, wow.
That's a big number.
50% almost.
The company reported year-end profit of $8 million on $516 million in yearly revenue. So, but if they were to keep up at this rate, that would turn into $700 million plus growth for next year. So they're getting to be a mover and a shaker in the Bitcoin market. On the call, Jack Dorsey said the Cash App redesign made it easier for new users to discover other services.
You know, it's funny, my buddy, you're talking about the Cash App, my buddy called me up, non-Bitcoiner, you know, just kind of, you know, he wants to get into it. He goes, what do you think of this Cash App? I'm like, what Cash App? He goes, oh, from Square. I'm like, yeah, that's a good one.
So I love actually Leonard videos.
Actually, it was Leonard that showed me the first shout out to Leonard.
Bike Federal.
From Bike Federal, that's right. And he showed me the Cash App, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And he was really big on it. Of course, he's always ahead of everybody.
Leonard.
Not your friend. No,
not
my friend. And so he said, yeah. I said, yeah, my buddy Leonard likes it and all that. So he downloaded it, and that's how he's buying his Bitcoin.
Well, and there's no... Nominally, or I don't know, the word is apparently, or what they say, mm-hmm. what they tell you is there's no commission that you have to pay when you buy the Bitcoin. But I don't know how that works.
The arbitrage, yeah.
But it's not on the article that you have on our show prep here. But when I was reading deeper into this, like their average Bitcoin purchase is like $7.
Wow.
You know, people get paid. You know, if you're using the Square app, even though you can they have direct deposit of pay, your weekly pay or biweekly pay now into mm-hmm. the Cash App. There's really no need for a bank in some ways if you haven't already gotten into the bank because the Cash App does everything. It, as I was saying, it does this, and once you're into it, you get peer-to-peer transfer. You can send money to anybody. They can send money to you.
Like Zelle.
Yes. Only Zelle is owned or at least controlled by the major banks.
That's right.
Where this is independent. And the other difference is, besides Bitcoin, you can buy stocks and fractional stocks with no commission.
Really? With a Cash App?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And anyway, this is directly a quote from Jack Dorsey. The peer-to-peer transfers network continues to be our best acquisition channel. Those new to the app then go on to discover Bitcoin and the other products.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's the first thing that gets them is, oh, I can buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I can buy $7 at no commission.
Buy $5.
Yeah. Buy $5 every few days.
Yeah.
Before you know it, I get $100 of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. in the future, it may be worth $10,000.
Well, you're talking about percentage gains.
That's right.
And that's really the way to think about it. You really shouldn't be thinking about, oh, if I could have a Bitcoin, it's too expensive. $500, the double is good if that's all you got.
Yep.
Well, if you got 5,000, it doubles, it's good. Anyway, and you can see the strategy there. Of course, it's pretty obvious, But when you think about two or three years ago, what's that thing that the little vendor at the flea market is using?
Yeah. And it's a script. I remember that, yeah. I was always leery of it, too. I'm like, you're putting my credit card through that?
All right. And, you know, that's just the start of the Jack Dorsey.
He's a genius.
Plan.
He's a visionary.
Well, much of the Bitcoin community has been watching to see what other contributions Square will make to the ecosystem. And we talked about this in previous shows. You can check it out at greenbridgeinvesting.com. You can find the show there. You can just Google the Henry Rain Show. It'll find it somehow for you. The Square crypto team announced it would focus on building out a software development kit to make it easier for applications to integrate Bitcoin's Lightning Network. And that also goes with the fact that he has hired people just to develop Bitcoin's usage, not for the Cash App, but here, we have engineers to help you.
Yeah.
And then when we hear about the upgrades that are, they have to have a consensus approval of different developers and miners, et cetera. Well, it just so happens that, seems like every initiative has a Square engineer in the middle of it. Just donating his time. Just for goodwill.
And he's over in Africa, lounging around.
Right. Well, anyway, analysts view the growth in Square's Bitcoin business as positive. Stock was up 6% after earnings report, although they announced a convertible note. Then that's what was down today in an up market. Although it's only like $1 billion, so it's a very small amount for their company. Anyway, if Square succeeds in growing its Bitcoin business across the globe, especially in areas where fiat currency is not easily and readily accepted by merchants, and in hyperinflationary countries, the company will have a major advantage over its payment processing competitors. That's Gartner, which I guess is a financial analyst firm. Analyst Aviva Litan told CoinDesk it will be able to grow its payment business among some of the fastest growing and most promising economies of the world, located mainly in Africa. And where did Jack Dorsey said he's going to be spending more time?
In Africa.
And
I'm sure he's not living out on the Sierra, or what is it called? The Safari, out there. Lions and that. He's probably in some nice hotel.
Right. Well, and we've talked about over, now we've been doing this show for so long, 2-3 years, whatever it is, and early in the run, there were always some company that was trying to bank the unbanked in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might as well pack it up now, cash it out.
He's doing it.
And convert to the Square Cash App. So, think about this, though, but if you look at Chinese ecosystems, whether you have Alipay for Alibaba, or WeChat, is that Baidu? But, they've got their payment system.
Uh-oh, coronavirus.
Yeah, but it's tied up. Well, it's okay, I already have it. That's tied up in the social media. And Jack Dorsey happens to be the CEO of Twitter, too. Now, we don't think of Twitter like we think of Facebook as social media, or Instagram, or TikTok, or what else am I too old to know about right
You're
now?
You're saying them, I don't know.
So, but it would not be hard with the user base of Twitter that's global to incorporate payments app in there.
Yeah, then why are they trying to push them out?
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask you, because here we have this person that's built two global companies. Mm-hmm. His strategy with Bitcoin and Square.
I mean, he's doing what Facebook wanted to do. He's doing it in a sneaky way, though, coming around with the Cash App.
Well, he's doing it in the benign way.
Yeah.
Not the...
We're going to do Libra coin.
We're here to help you.
Yeah, he took something that was already there and just made it better.
He's our engineer.
Yeah.
How about this one, too? He's not doing anything. He can help you do this. So here with Twitter, they could be doing payments. And anybody with half a brain, and I qualify for that, could see the synergy and the synchronicity that you could achieve with these two things. Well, not billionaire Paul Singer. He's pushing for the removal of Jack Dorsey as CEO of Twitter, according to an article from February 28.
Elliott Management just has made a lot of bad moves, though, so you can't
Can you think of any or did they come to mind?
Well, Elliott Man,
I don't hear anybody saying that. Look at that great move they made.
Yeah, no. I think they had a big issue a couple years ago, too.
Well, so Maybe because this is the type of thing that they do.
Yeah.
The Elliott Management founder and activist investor is concerned about Dorsey's time being split between two $5 billion-plus companies and his desire to move to Africa, which sort of ignores the point that he built two $5 billion companies and is moving to Africa to exploit one of the last undeveloped continents. I mean, you're not going to go to Europe and plow the new ground. You're a little bit locked out of Asia and Russia. South America, we can talk about that. But Africa, rich in resources.
Well, here, Elliott Management was in the SoftBank, and they got crushed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you just have to go around and, I don't want to say loot, but...
Vulture
capitalist on the bones of Twitter.
Yeah, I think they lost a lot of people, too, but I don't know. I mean...
Anyway, Singer took a major stake in the social media giant recently and has already nominated four replacement directors to Twitter's board, according to reports. I wonder who the shareholders that actually vote, how they feel about this. The ones that actually vote are institutional.
Here it is, right here. Here's the thing, Elliott Management. Okay, so Elliott Management, it was Arconic. So they were into Arconic, and they ended up losing. Let me see how many millions and millions of dollars. Now, of course, to them, you know, they have a huge, they're in the billions. But I just saw it.
Well, anyway.
$246
million. $246 million what?
Yeah.
Lost or?
Yeah, lost in one company. So, you know, when Elliott, man, I'm not, you know.
Well, when you're good at running companies into the ground,
that's
another great opportunity.
There you go.
Get control of this one, you can run a $5 billion one into the ground.
Yeah.
We're not biased here.
No.
And, of course, someone else that isn't biased against Bitcoin is Securities and Exchange Commissioner Hester Peirce. Published a dissenting statement in response to the commission's, that would be the Securities and Exchange Commission's, rejection of Wilshire Phoenix's Bitcoin Exchange Traded Fund, a.k.a. ETF, application. And, did you know, Hester Peirce only has about three more months on the SEC. Her term runs up.
No.
So she is letting her opinion be known right now. In her latest statement, Commissioner Peirce claims the SEC's handling of Bitcoin-related products is inconsistent with Section 6B5 of the Exchange Act, which stipulates requirements for an exchange where the asset will be traded. It needs to, quote, to prevent fraudulent and manipulative practices and to protect investors and public interest, but doesn't have such requirements for the asset itself, as I explained in the Winklevoss dissent. So this isn't her first dissent. This isn't her first time around the dissent block. This provision, I have a feeling that Hester Peirce has said no a lot of times.
Yeah.
This provision requires the commission to look to the rules of the exchange. That's just, I don't want to read it. you can get the point. She dissents. Peirce surmises that based on, quote,
isn't the first time she dissented either.
Right. Well, then that's what she refers back to here. The ever-shifting standards that the SEC applies to Bitcoin. Oh, she's burning them.
Yeah.
To Bitcoin products, no filing will ever get approved. Furthermore, she believes that this attitude, instead of protecting retail investors, deprive investors of the ability to access Bitcoin and markets within our regulatory framework. She also states that not a single pre-Bitcoin case where the SEC analyzed volumes were significant when compared to the underlying commodity markets. And in at least one case, the commission approved a rule change to a list of shares of a product referencing a futures market that at the time of approval has no trading whatsoever. So I guess to summarize, to make that more concise, she says it's a bunch of hoo-ha.
Yeah.
That you haven't produced. You know, I'm getting to the point. I don't know that the Bitcoin ETF. It'd be nice if people could put it in their retirement accounts. But if you got the Cash App and you can buy $7 of Bitcoin,
what do you need it for?
You got Robinhood, you can buy $5 of Bitcoin. You got
you can with Robinhood.
Well, you can buy Bitcoin. Not today. They have a minimum.
Not today. You can't.
You want to just dredge up those inconvenient things.
Yeah.
Yes, Robinhood is having a little technical issues today.
Oops.
Because it was a busy day. And Robin Hood is out with his merry men, and they didn't get back in time.
Margin call.
To handle the trades.
Yeah.
So,
unbelievable.
All right. Well, there's other stuff that could be talked about, but as I said, we're not going to belabor. There is an interesting thing here, and I'm not going to try and go into all this. But I put in the research here an article about why is it so hard to get banks to deal with blockchain companies, startups, of course, cryptocurrencies, startups. And it's one of the things that this article points out is that many smaller banks use correspondent banks, whose direct access to the Federal Reserve systems, Fedwire, and other things that they leverage are actually correspondents with big banks like J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, so they don't want to ruffle any feathers, which, you know, as many of the companies that we've talked to off the air, they've said, we get a bank account, we think everything's okay, and then they're like, we need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one, and disclosure, I do own some stock in this, Silvergate Bank is interesting in that they're a regular bank. They do mortgages and stuff like that. But they've carved out
a niche
to be the bank of blockchain. Their symbol, if you look them up on the stock exchange, is SI. And I just want to point out a couple things they do in their I'm not doing this to tout the stock. Don't go buy the stock just because I'm talking about it. But buy it. But think about the growth that you're seeing, because they're sort of the only ones out there saying, we'll handle this. Okay, so in their last...
There's another one, isn't it? By Paul...
This is the only publicly traded one. I should have qualified that. But look at these growth numbers. So this is for their quarter ending in December of 2019, and it came out about a month at the end of January. So digital currency customers. Now, this is separate from all the normal traditional banking stuff they do. They're talking about institutions, companies, grew to 804 compared to 756 in September. So that doesn't sound like a whole lot. It's like 44 new businesses. But it was only 542 in December of 2018. So that is about a 60% growth rate in blockchain cryptocurrency companies that are now banking with them. They also have something called the Silvergate Exchange Network, which works 24/7. And it's mainly for cryptocurrency exchanges to move fiat back and forth between other cryptocurrency exchange or institutions or what have you. So they're actually providing a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service for fiat transfers for the cryptocurrency exchange. They handled 14,400 transactions in the fourth quarter compared with 12,300 in the third quarter, so what's that? So 10%, a little more than 10% growth, and that's compared to about 5,000 transactions in the fourth quarter. So almost a 300% increase there. It was $9.6 billion of U.S. dollar transfers compared to $10.4 billion in the third quarter. I think that has to do with the price of Bitcoin, probably.
Yeah.
And $3.9 billion in the fourth quarter of 2018. So again, about almost a just say 200% increase. The customer-related fee income for the quarter is $1.4 million compared to $1.6. But, again, a small decrease from third quarter to fourth quarter, but it was only $700,000 one year ago. Hmm. So there's a demand, and it sure isn't by people buying $7 a Bitcoin on the Cash App. There's some serious business.
What's the book value on that?
Pardon me?
What's the book value?
I don't know the book value. I think it's about 1.2 or 1.3.
It says right there.
Oh, where do you see it?
Book value per share, right there, underneath your blue.
It's
trading at price to book is about 1.3. Okay.
Yeah, and the PE on Friday it dipped down a little bit low in sympathy with the other banks, so it got under 12, but the PE is about 12.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh. Now for something that's different than the standard bank.
Yeah, you're not going to get rich. You're not going to, double like Bitcoin can in a month. But if you think the ecosystem, which is a word we've been using a lot less, is going to grow, they're in on the ground stakes.
There you go.
But don't buy it because I bought it.
Buy it because you bought it.
No, don't do anything. Run out and buy it. I did it. Just go look at their website. And what is their website?
What's the stock ticker?
SI. SilvergateBank.com. You can look it all up for yourself. And just find out.
Do your own research.
Yeah. maybe they're the right bank for you. If you're, you know, we have a lot of people up at Blockspaces in Tampa, the blockchain incubator, that are up and running companies who could use a bank. Maybe they'll find it useful for them. Anyway, what else you got going on this week?
That's about it.
Well, and so we're looking, the price as we speak, which is about 40 minutes after 5 on Bitcoin, is 89.36. It was 89.72 a few minutes ago. And you said if it closes above 9,000 in 2 hours, around 7 o'clock Eastern time, it's going to be a really good sign.
I think it'll be a good sign, yeah. I mean, because this is just held up all day long, you know, kind of watching it. It's not getting a lot of volatility. It's just like somebody's in there just, okay, every time somebody sells, they're buying it.
And if we were to take this couple extra minutes, because
I can.
What? Tell people about greenbridgeinvesting.com, because there's a lot of stuff of interest on there.
Yeah. So with greenbridgeinvesting.com, we trade all markets. We trade cryptocurrencies, Forex, futures with CFDs, as well as stocks, and using different strategies. So we have a bunch of different strategies there. So it's not once, you know, you come in and you're just going to do this one strategy. We have multiple strategies.
And Greenbridge Investing is G-R-E-E-N, like it's supposed to be.
That's correct. Yep.
And a bridge is spelled like it's supposed to be.
Bridging you to the green. That's, you know, just imagine that.
Greenbridgeinvesting.com.
If you see, come on, sign up, get 7 day. Of course, we have a free subscription, and if you want one of the active investors, you get 7 day free trial. Go ahead.
I wasn't trying to rush you, but if you were done, I was going to say, if you're going to fight the coronavirus,
yes,
this is the way to do it.
I drink a cup of coffee and start the combing of my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee.